Hey everyone, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and Pedaling Innovations, and welcome to another edition of the Bike James Podcast. In this podcast, I'm going to talk about isometric exercises or a way to use them that I learned at a recent Steve Maxwell seminar that really changed my view of them and the need to have isometric exercises in your program, and really how they kind of need to be a cornerstone of your strength building effort. So anyways, definitely looking forward to sharing more of that with you. But before I get too far into it, want to let you know this episode is brought to you by the Catalyst Pedal. The Catalyst Pedal, you can find out more about it at pedalinginnovations.com. It is the world's first midfoot optimized pedal. It's guaranteed to improve your power, your fun and safety, and your comfort on the trail. And really, the thing that separates it from every other pedal out there is that it's the only pedal that allows you to use your foot and your legs on the bike the same way that you're working them in the gym and with your mobility training. If you're doing yoga, things like that, you're working your foot and your lower leg in this very specific way, and the Catalyst Pedal is the only pedal that allows you to transfer that effectively to the bike. It's the only pedal that supports your foot in the same way the ground supports your foot and allows for that full 100% transfer of the fitness and mobility that you're creating off of the bike to the bike. So don't let your pedals hold you back. Don't work hard on your bike and get strong and mobile and then jump on your bike and have these tiny little pedals holding you back because your feet just aren't able to do what they're supposed to do and let your body do what it's supposed to do. So anyways, again, check us out at pedalinginnovations.com. So with that said, getting into the subject matter here, which is isometric exercises. So again, like I mentioned, I went to a Steve Maxwell seminar a couple weeks ago, and Steve Maxwell is one of these super old school guys in the fitness industry. He's literally been doing it for over 50 years, and so he's got a ton of experience working with clients at all different levels and all different age groups. And so when this guy talks about something, it's not coming from some sensationalistic "I'm trying to sell you something" point of view. It's coming from, "Hey man, here's what works." And like he said, it may not be sexy, and it's certainly not easy, but this is what works. And so when he got into the strength training portion of his presentation, it was pretty much all about using isometric exercises to build strength. And isometric exercises, if you're not familiar with them, these are the exercises where there are no movement. And so, if you're, pulling against something that you can't move, or you're pushing against something that you can't move, then, that's an isometric exercise because, again, there's no movement involved. But the cool thing about isometric exercises are that they produce a very high level of muscle tension, and they're also relatively safe. And so there's something that I've known about for a while and I've used on and off, but I never really understood exactly the best way to use them as part of a program until I went and had Steve explain how he uses them and had some light bulb moments for me that helped pull a couple things together. So I'm going to explain it to you real quick, kind of how he explained it, and hopefully you'll see why the isometric exercises are, again, such an important part for our strength building efforts. So first, what is strength? Well, strength comes down to two things. One, it's your ability to create tension in a muscle. And remember, your muscles are dumb. All they know is tension. They can either create tension or try and dissipate tension, turn that tension off. That's all they know how to do. So you're creating tension in muscles in certain areas and in certain patterns to create movement. But tension and that ability to create tension in the muscle is one element. And then technique is the other element. Like, how efficiently can you apply that tension to the movement demands at hand? And so, for example, if we're talking about something simple like a deadlift, then your ability to produce tension in the muscles that go into doing a deadlift and picking a heavy weight off the ground, that's going to be a factor. And also your technique, like how effectively are you able to recruit the right muscles at the right time and not turn on the opposing muscles and get your joints lined up the right way so that you're able to get the best leverage. And so that's your technique. And so you can create more tension in the muscle and not necessarily increase your technique, and you'll see your strength go up. And you can also increase your technique, basically get better at how you're moving, and without necessarily increasing your ability to create tension, and also see an increase in strength. And of course, the holy grail of this is to improve your ability to create tension and to improve your technique at the same time. And this is where you're going to see your biggest strength gains. Now, I know I use the word, you use deadlift, and I'm using the word strength, but strength is really, it applies to anything. Like, you know, endurance is really strength endurance. They just cut off the strength part for brevity's sake. But it's your ability to apply a low level of strength over and over again. And so any movement that you create on the bike is going to require strength. And so, again, I know a lot of times when we throw that word out there, we think about power lifters and Olympic weightlifters and stuff like that. But really, strength is an important factor for all sports, especially mountain biking, probably more so for mountain biking than any other cycling sport out there. So that's what strength is. Now, the trick to sport-specific training is to develop your tension and your technique separately. They don't have to be developed together. And we screw things up when we try to use strength training to teach a skill, or we use skill training to try and build strength. So again, going back to our deadlift example, a deadlift is, there's a movement skill there, all right? So there's the movement skill of picking something heavy up off of the ground. And so there's the movement skill that you're that's behind that, and then there's also the exercise that is, you know, if you're a power lifter and you're trying to deadlift as much weight as possible. So when you're a power lifter or something and you're trying to lift as much weight as possible, then using the deadlift to help you develop that specific strength is great. But we don't want to be trying to also develop the skill as well, like trying to develop your tension creation abilities and teach someone a skill at the same time is not the best way to do it. It's really tough and actually kind of dangerous, leads to injury potential there. But the flip side of that is trying to use skill training to build strength. And so, you know, what this means is that you're using your movement skill training to try and get stronger. And that's not necessarily the best way either. You want to try to, you know, use strength training to develop your tension creation, and then your skill training to develop your ability to apply that tension. So again, I know it gets a little fuzzy there, and it's again, I've been doing this for a long time, so I've got a few years of thinking about this, and it finally, like when Steve explained this to me, or at the seminar, it made sense with, like, okay, that's the problem. You know, like, so say I take a client and I'm wanting them to use a deadlift to help them learn better body technique. Well, that's a skill, right? And so I'd want to be looking at using the deadlift for the skill, the movement skill that they're trying to practice, not to use that to build strength. Because strength is your ability to create tension. And so, you know, trying to create high levels of tension and teach someone how to move better gets them into trouble. And so, again, this is one of the big problems that I think that people run into with sport-specific strength training programs, is that you have a lot of movements in the program. And these movements are meant to help develop specific movement skills. So for example, like I said, you know, I have deadlifts in my program to help develop, you know, body position. I've got, stagger stance squats to help develop the movement patterns behind standing pedaling. And so you want to have these exercises and these movements that help develop these movement skills that you're going to apply to the bike. But when you really start to push the limits and you try to start using those exercises to also build strength, that's when you start running into problems, because when you're opening yourself up to injury potential, when you're really trying to move a lot of weight and take it to the limit. And so this is where the isometric stuff comes in, because with isometric exercises, you're able to develop your tension creation skill, and then you're able to use skill training to build the technique and apply that skill, the tension to that technique. And so it's the separation of those two things that was really kind of that aha moment for me. It was like, okay, you know, I need to look at creating tension and practicing technique as two different things. Sometimes there's going to be some overlap there, which is where things get gray and fuzzy. But if I just kind of keep that in mind, like, what am I trying to do here? Build strength? Well, then it's a matter of creating maximum tension. Or am I trying to create practice a movement skill? And then at that point, it's a matter of getting the movement skill down. Or again, if it's a sport-specific skill, then you may be trying to take that to 100%. But that's really more the exception, like kind of competition-style training, more than just like your average everyday technique training. So, all right. So with all that said, how do you use isometrics, right? So that's great. So here's what how Steve Maxwell uses them, and what I've been doing for the last month or so, and really found it to be super effective, is he uses what he calls ramping isometrics, and he does them combined with the one set to failure. So again, if you've lifted weights before, you've probably come across the one set to failure, Mike Mincer, the old Nautilus, Arthur Jones was real big into this. And so, but you combine these two techniques. So ramping isometrics are where you have three blocks of time. So you're going to have a 20 to 30 second block of time. And so let's just take 30 seconds to keep it easy. So you're going to start 30 seconds and you're going to do, so let's say that you're doing a chest press, right? So let's say you get a rope and you wrap it around your back and you're sitting on the ground and you got the rope in your hands and you're doing a chest press about halfway through your range of motion. And so obviously with this rope, you're not able to move it, right? So it's an isometric exercise. You're pushing into this rope and it's not moving. Now you're going to start out at 50% effort. And then after 30 seconds, you're immediately going to go to 75% effort. There's no shaking the tension off. There's no rest. The trick is you really got to keep that tension going the whole time. And you just ramp up from 50% to 75% for the second block. And then finally for your third block, you're going to go to 100% effort. So it's 30 seconds, 50% effort, 30 seconds, 75% effort, and finally 30 seconds, 100% effort. And you're trying to, rip the rope apart and, whatever the exercise you're doing. So that's basically it. And you want to take that, if you do it right, when you get done with that last block of 100% effort, you're done. You definitely do not want to do another set. Now, the one set to failure is great because or combined with the ramping isometrics, because you're not moving. So you really don't have the injury potential that you do with a lot of the one set to failure stuff. Like, I definitely did a lot of one set to failure stuff when I first started working out. And especially when you start getting strong and you start getting towards that edge of your limit, it starts to get dangerous, because really it's not muscular failure, it's technical failure. And you can either ignore that technical failure, which, to keep trying to get that muscle failure, which opens you up to injury potential, or you're just not really able to get that, really target that muscle, and the things that are giving out don't feel so good. So what I found with the ramping isometrics is I'm able to really focus on the muscle groups that I'm wanting to focus on. And because I'm not moving, I'm not having to worry about the technical failure and these smaller muscles giving out and then me moving wrong and something getting hurt. And so it's a really safe way to train. And the one set to failure makes it really quick. Like, you're able to do a whole workout in 20 minutes or less because you're able to just get in, do your one set, and move on to the next exercise. And, there's a little bit of a warm up into it too. So like your first 30 seconds is 50% effort. And, so you should be using that to kind of get yourself set. Make sure you've got tension where you want it. You're not feeling it where you don't want it. 75% effort, you ramp it up and make sure that you're keeping it where you want. And then finally, by the time you get to that last one where you're going 100%, it should be safe because you've spent the previous two blocks like making sure that you're checking in and keeping the tension where you want it. So by the time you get to that 100% effort, you're locked in and you're not just going in hard on some areas that you shouldn't be. So like I said, it's been really effective, and I found it to be like I said, a really good way to train. It feels, you don't come out of your training sessions feeling nearly as beat up as you do with a lot of movement based stuff. And so what this does is it allows you to really focus on the quality of tension instead of the movement. So what I found is that your body will compromise optimal tension to get you through a movement sometimes. So again, going back to like a chest press, so say you're doing like a push-up and you've had a shoulder injury in the past. Like, I've had a couple AC separations on my shoulders. And so my right shoulder just doesn't quite, it's not quite in the same position. And so it's easy for me to get through some push-ups and my shoulders rounded just a little bit to take some of the stress off of the pec and put a little bit more on the shoulder and not keep it on the lat where I want it. And so when I'm doing these isometrics, I'm able to really, you know, make sure that I'm keeping tension where I want it, because I'm focusing more on tension than on movement. And so it's really helping me develop that tension creation capability within the movement pattern, which is helping out a lot. It also helps you develop your tension producing volume knob, which is an important skill. So that ability to apply, you know, move, but apply 50% effort to the movement, and then 75% effort, and then 100%. And the movement not necessarily changing. You know, a lot of times when you tell someone to go easy and then you tell someone to go hard, their whole like movement pattern almost changes from the effort level. And so what you want to be learning to do is be able to play with this adjustment knob, this volume knob, where you can adjust your tension accordingly. Like, this really helps a lot for like standing pedaling. People that tend to spin out a lot when they stand up to pedal and say that, oh, I got to sit down. Like, really what it is, they don't have much of a volume knob with their pedal stroke. It's either on or off. And so, and when they're just pushing down hard, they're not able to kind of feel the traction, you know, adjust their tension and the force into the pedals based on the traction. And so there's a lot of different, you know, reasons that developing this volume knob will help you. But that's kind of one of the most obvious ones, kind of off the top of my head. The other thing that these things will do for you is it'll help you learn how to truly tap into 100% tension. Because that's something you're going to find after doing the first couple of times you do it, is you're going to be like, man, I really don't know how to do this. Like, 50% is too hard. 100%, like, what is that? I get done and I'm like, I probably could have gone a little bit harder. And you find that, you know, you find ways to survive. Like, because you're going to failure, you almost have to look at it differently. Like, you know, if I don't fail, then I failed. Right? Like, if you don't just give everything you've got by the end, then you didn't do what you were supposed to do. And to do that, you really have to give 100%. And again, because a lot of times training to failure entails some sort of potential injury risk, we learn to pace ourselves and hold ourselves back. And so with these isometrics, you learn how to really tap into 100%, which again is something that you just don't really get to do, especially in a safe way on a consistent basis with more movement-based exercises. So it also develops your mental and physical endurance. Like, trust me, trying to keep this constant tension, especially getting up into that 75 and 100% effort level, there's definitely a mental and physical endurance that you have to do. And again, I know, like, a lot of times as mountain bikers, we think of endurance as like on the scale of like hours, but within rides, there are moments where you have to go very high tension. So your ability to create good tension while maintaining your breathing, maintaining your focus, you know, maintaining you know, not letting your face get all, you know, bound up and just staying relaxed. Like, that's a skill that'll help you. You know, you hit that hard climb and it's not going to last that long, right? Like, you know, 15, 20 seconds, but man, it requires a lot of tension. And so your ability to mentally and physically endure those sustained tension producing moments will really help out your overall endurance on the trail. It also keeps your body fresh for technique training. And I mentioned this, that it's definitely not nearly as hard on your body, definitely not nearly as hard on your joints as a standard strength training session. Like, doing, you know, 5 sets of 5 deadlifts, trying to use that for strength, versus like 1 set of, you know, ramping isometrics, doing a standing on a rope and holding that rope, you know, in the middle of a deadlift position, you know, you just don't feel nearly as beat up at the end of it. And so now you have your body's fresher for other technique training. So again, like deadlifting, like I still like to deadlift. I still like to do my mace training, my Indian club, but now I look at it as technique training. Like, I'm practicing a movement skill. These are movement techniques that I'm training. So riding my bike, practicing my skills on my bike. So now my body's fresh for this stuff. And with skill training and effort, technique training, you generally don't want to go over 80% effort level with that. So even when I'm doing my deadlifting and stuff like that now, I'm not going over 80% because I'm not trying to get strong with my deadlifting. I'm just trying to improve my technique with it. Now, obviously, as my tension producing capabilities are getting better and my technique's getting better, my strength is going up, so I'm able to move more weight. but my effort level is staying in that 80% or less zone. And, you know, same thing on the bike. Like, you know, I talk about this a lot. Like, most of your rides should be in the 80% or less zone, where you're working more on technique and skills than trying to go out there and just hammer your face into the ground every time you go out and ride and call that a training ride. But that's kind of a different subject. But so how do you use this? Pretty simple. You pick one exercise per movement pattern, you know, push, pull, squat, hinge, some sort of core, like, you know, rotation or resisting rotation. You can also get into auxiliary exercises like working your neck and your grip and stuff like that, just kind of depending upon your weak points. But so just keeping it pretty simple, picking like 5 to 7 exercises max, and then just going through. Doing the 30, you know, I recommend doing 20 to 30 seconds. You may start at 20 seconds and work your way up to the full 30 seconds, but you're just doing, you know, 50% effort, 75% effort, 100% effort, and then move on to the next exercise. So again, shouldn't take you too long to do it. Now you're going to have more training time to work on other stuff. So again, you can work on your mobility, you can work on your sport specific skills, other movement stuff. So again, like I mentioned, I'll personally do 2 days a week of this, and then combine that with another day in the gym where I'm doing my, cause I still like to get in there and do some clean and presses with the kettlebell, do some Turkish get-ups with a sandbag. You know, like I mentioned, I still like to do deadlifts. And so there's movement skills that I'm practicing with those exercises. I'm not looking at that as a strength training session. That's a movement skill training session. And then I'm able to get out and ride my bike and do my other sport-specific stuff like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and stuff. So that's kind of how I've been going about it. And it's definitely made a difference in my training. And so, you know, like Steve mentioned several times, it's not sexy. You know, it's not easy, but, you know, it is very effective. And so hopefully, this is giving you guys some ideas for your workouts. And, you know, if anything, I just, you know, would encourage you to try a couple weeks of just doing the ramping isometrics and just kind of see how you feel and go back and see how it affects your training when you go back to your normal training and see if you can think of some ways to kind of combine the two. Cause I've definitely been brainstorming some different programs and stuff based on this now. So hopefully, like I said, give you guys something to think about. So that's going to be it for this podcast. Once again, you guys can check me out at bikejames.com. I've got a lot of great free information and stuff you can sign up for there, free workout programs. You can also check me out at pedalinginnovations.com, where you can find out more about the Catalyst pedal and how it can help you apply what you're doing in the gym to your bike more effectively. So once again, it's been James Wilson. Had a good time talking to you guys, and I will talk to you next time.